who have the privilege of being able to share the word this morning. And by the way, top marks for allowing your pastor and wife to have some time off. We have been, we're kind of those people that watch over and see what's going on and so forth. Although we don't attend here, we do feel very much a part of the church family here. We want you to know that we're praying for you all. We're praying for your pastor and his sweetie, praying that the Lord will bring about his healing and to be able to be refreshed as you've given him a few days to get his, just to have some time personally. This morning, before we get into the message, I want to share with you a couple of things. First of all, college students, we have a ministry trip for you. This is a time to go over to India. We call it maintenance and ministry. And it's we're going to be painting the children's home in our children's home in central India. And then in the evenings, going out to village churches and be able to minister and encourage them basically it's like a five-day club, only we're doing it in 2 days, 2 days, 2 days in each one of those villages. So it's going to be a tremendous time of encouragement and a tremendous time of blessing. We were so excited to have two represented from your church, both Dr. Jager and also my father, at the teaching module, the winter teaching module at our Grace Bible College, our ministry in central India. As you know, our ministry is called Indigenous Ministries, or maybe you don't know, but basically we stand to encourage and train the national to reach the national. We empower the national. We have a newsletter that that is in the back, and Dee says, honey, you forgot to say something about that in the first service. So please pick up, too. That way you can share it with somebody else. But we have the privilege of not only being involved with church planting, but also involved with assisting and helping with the situation that is in northern Iraq and now in Egypt with ISIS, or what you would call Daesh, in the Middle East. And it has been interesting to see, and you all have had a part of that as we have seen. We asked the Lord, in fact, it was an amazing thing. You talk about the Lord opening doors. In August, when Mosul fell and 35,000 Christians were kicked from Mosul, and then another 15,000 from Karakosh and other surrounding areas, 1.4 million people the Kurdish government in northern Iraq is dealing with that are displaced. We as a ministry asked the Lord for $35,000 that we could assist and help. And I left here with one of my assistants. He and I flew to Erbil, northern Iraq, and reconnected with a number of the pastors that we've been in ministry with over the last 10 years. And it was interesting because we left here with $6,000. We asked the Lord for $35,000. By the time we landed on the ground, there was $35,000 in the bank. We were able to use that to begin the assistance of helping in relief efforts, coordinating with evangelical churches, sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ, encouraging people. And we've gone from step one, which was food and water, basic needs, to step two, involved with food, with clothing, with tents, with bedding and blankets and all of that. And then now we're in phase three, which is basically to assist and help to get them settled into apartment complexes and giving them a place to rest for 3 months to get their feet underneath them. What is amazing is the fact that we're doing this through the church, and we're doing this for Christian background. Now, let me just tell you something. These are the Christians that have known the Lord Jesus Christ in family connection dating back 17 to 1900 years. The ones who in their family lineage are traced back to came to know Jesus Christ as Savior that are Assyrian from the time that Thomas the Apostle went to Damascus to catch the desert ships across to India and he became the disciple of India. And what is interesting is that almost to a man, he and Bartholomew had the privilege of ministering in through Damascus and Syria and so forth. And almost to a man, Syria became Christ followers. So that took place until 650, which 630, which began the Islamic invasions. And people got to the point where they said, you know, we're going to invite you to this new religion called Islam, and you can live by becoming Muslim, or you can die by remaining Christian. That's your choice. Isn't it interesting that today we're dealing with the very same things that took place almost 2,000 years ago? Can I also make a little statement to help you understand the Middle East just a little bit? Isn't it interesting that our president and others who were formerly Secretary of State and so forth have had to come to the same conclusion that President Bashar Assad had to come to when the Al-Qaeda and the, shall I use the word, I almost don't want to use the word, but the radical Muslims tried to take over his country. I mean, what would you expect? And, you know, the minute there's a problem, the president of Egypt is encouraged to step down, who has been a friend of our country for over 40 years. It's very, very interesting. I have a different perspective than some. And but I tell you what, in all of the difficulties and all of the challenges and all of the problems, guess what? The Lord is in control. That is the subject of my message this morning. You all as a church have gone through a tremendous, tremendous difficulty and challenge. And with Pastor Mark's homegoing, and we talk with Sue this morning, and one of the things that I'm going to share with you as a family, they have their place here, don't they? This is where they belong. Okay? And that's something that you all need to know, that this is your home. And we who are outside the church, we're for you as well. We're standing with you. We go through these difficulties and challenges. They will come. One of the things that is a problem in life is that is probably the greatest challenge, and the older you get, the more difficult it becomes, is the fact that change naturally occurs. Change comes whether you're ready for it or not. I happen to be at the very tail end of a generational group that wanted change. And what's really funny is that you know, 30 years ago, they said, don't trust anybody over 30. Well, there's not one of us that is, you know, younger than 55. And the problem is change happens, change takes place, change occurs. And the question is, how do we deal with that? How do we come to the point where we manage that change? Now, you who are in your 20s and your early 30s, you're just beginning to deal with that. But those of us who have have passed through our 40s and into our 50s, and those of you who are a little more mature than I am, are dealing with that in a number of things. I had a dear friend, he was full-blooded Choctaw Indian, and when he was 85, he made the statement, he says, John, when you get to be my age, it's amazing what you can live without. But what can't we live with? What can't we live with? I remember years ago, over 30 years ago, there was a man who still lives as one of my heroes. He's with the Lord today. His name is Walt Graff, and he came in as I was a young pastor. And I remember we were facing a deacon's meeting that was going to be less than fun to go through. Yes, we have those at times. But he walked in and he said, Pastor John, how are you doing? And you know something? I can still feel that big old mitt on my shoulder, my left shoulder, as he put his hand down on top of my shoulder. And he says, "Pastor John, I want you to know I'm here. I'm for you. We're going to stand together." And you know something? One of the greatest statements that that Pastor Rob shared about Pastor Mark, one of the greatest statements that he could say, and he doesn't need to say another word, is he was a friend. He was a friend. Isn't it interesting that when the evil one attacks, one of the ways that he does that is trying to divide us into circles of I'm for this and I'm for that. And we start getting so petty, and we start getting so interested in things that really don't matter, that we lose track on what it is that God has called us to do. I want you to listen to what John, the beloved apostle, made the statement in the book of 1 John. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to preach from 1 John this morning, is because here is the one who described himself as the one who Jesus loved. The one who Jesus loved. Can I ask you a question? Can you call yourself that as well? Can you call yourself one who has been loved by Jesus? You see, the only way that you can do that is by taking those verses of Scripture, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He created in advance for us to do." Can I ask you a question? What good works did the Lord Jesus do through you this past week that your fellowship with Christ has been made complete? You see, well, I'll get into that in just a minute. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." One of the things that we deal with in life is things constantly change. My wife and I grew up in Hawaii. I used to do a lot of surfing. And you had to get good at surfing, because as you're coming over the crest and you're coming down the face of the wave, you better control that, or else you're going to go into what's called the washing machine. That washing machine will grab you, and one of the things that I used to do, which was really kind of cool, especially as I was getting my surfing ability better, was to go down the face of the wave, do a couple of ups and downs like this on the face of the wave as the curl was coming over here, and then to either dive down in or dive up to the top and get over the top of the wave. Well, there's a problem sometimes in the larger waves that you surf. And that is called the pull of the washing machine. I'd be going up and down like this on the wave, and then I would pull out like this and come up over the top. But as the curve of the wave and the power of the wave, I didn't get out fast enough, and all of a sudden you could feel that baby pulling you back into the swirl of the wave as it closed. A lot of times, life can be that way. A lot of times we can be sitting there going along and everything's great, and you just slam dunk something, but all of a sudden something happens and it pulls you back in. And the stronger the wave, the longer it takes for you to find your footing. In fact, there would be times where we would work really hard to make sure that we could hold our breath long enough so that, especially when we were doing 10 and 15 foot waves, that even though we were held down for almost a minute, you could hold your breath that long, because eventually you'll break the surface. Eventually, your feet will find the ground and you'll shove yourself up and you'll be able to be back in the air and be able to breathe again. This is life. The stronger the circumstance, the longer it is at times that you will go through that difficulty, that challenge, that cycle of problems and so forth, and you'll think, how long? But I'm here to tell you, you are going to find your footing. You will. It will be a matter of time. Let me share with you once again the premise that John is trying to share with you, that which was from the beginning. We are not believing something that is new, fresh. You can't look back at the Christian church or the roots of this church and say, well, the roots of this church date back 10 years, 100 years, or 200 years. That which was from the beginning of time, the administration of God's grace, the administration of God reaching out to you and to me, drawing us to Himself, that which was from the beginning. Notice what he goes on to say. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at, which our hands have touched. This we proclaim. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 1. Listen to how he begins his gospel there. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness, read it with me, has not overcome it. As I've shared with you, we work with people that are dealing with ISIS. We have dealt with people that have lost their homes. I've sat with one of the things that you saw as far as the dedication of the chapel, and I'm so glad you saw that because you're the ones that had Mom's memorial service here. And so that is a completion in your mind of how the church continues to minister on. You've just had ministry as a result of representatives of your church over in India. You will soon have two that will be going to Ghana. Think about the ministry of this church as it continues to serve the Lord in reaching people for Christ in the multiplicity of ways that it does. That which was from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And nothing that is in existence today did not come into existence without the Word of God, Jesus Christ, speaking it into existence. I want you to think with me this morning. Your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus is just as creation took place. That which was, the Hebrew word is tohu vavohu, the very reason for why you came into a relationship with Christ in the first place. Tohu vavohu literally means without form and void and empty. When Jesus Christ became your Lord and Savior, all of the pieces started coming together. Am I correct in that? He spoke your relationship into existence. But that which was from the beginning, the administration of God's grace, just look at that cross. The administration of God's grace, the beginning, God performed the first sacrifice. Adam and Eve were clothed. From that point on, then, the law came, the prophets came, the administration of the tabernacle, and then the temple. And then Jesus came into this world. And Jesus shared with us that only through Him could we have right relationship with God the Father. Only through what He did on that cross. That which was from the beginning. That which our ears have heard, our eyes have seen, our hands have touched, we personally experienced. This we proclaim. One of the things that we as a church, when we've gone through the difficulties and challenges, the washing machine of life, we need to go back to hear the beloved apostle say, first, listen. That which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which our hands have handled, this I proclaim to you, he's worth serving. I want you to think with me when he makes the statement, that which our hands have handled. By the way, what time do I finish up? 1:45? Okay. I've heard that my father has quite a reputation. So I'll try to get you out of here at least before the Presbyterians get to lunch. Think with me, that which our hands have handled. Let me take you back on the night that Jesus performed the first Lord's table. And there was a man that came in and he had made that statement, unless I put my hands in the nail prints and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And what is the first statement that Jesus made to any of the disciples that were there in that room tonight? Peace be among you. Thomas, come, put your finger in my hand. Put your hand into my side. Do not be faithless, but believing. Listen to his testimony to Peter. Peter, Peter, Satan has had desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. You're going through the challenges, the washing machines of life, but what do you have as your resource? Number one, you have Jesus Christ who sat down at the right hand of the throne of God praying for you. He is praying for you. He's praying for you as a church. He's praying for Pastor Mark's family. We are praying for them. And we are a resource to them as they continue to be a resource to us. That's the body of Christ. The evil one is looking for any way possible to divide you, to destroy you. I'm a personal church history buff, and you know that the last night after 1,380 years of church being divided, the last night of Constantinople, my wife and I had the privilege of walking through the Hagia Sophia. As we walked through, I was remembering, they said that the last night that the church actually stood as a church, it didn't matter if you were of this sect or that sect, if you were Christian, you gathered together pleading for the blood of Jesus Christ and the sustaining hand. We need to stand together. We need to stand together in unity of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think with me when Paul the Apostle said, stand with the shield of faith. There's a secret about that shield of faith. That was the Roman door shield. It stands about 4 feet. Now, what was most unique about that shield is that, I mean, the Roman phalanx, that was the coolest thing in the world. It was the unstoppable force. That's why the Roman armies always endeavored to move forward, because they couldn't be stopped. Because here was the point. That door shield wasn't just, well, I'm going to stand with the shield of faith. That door shield had two hinges and two hooks. What was that for? I'll tell you what it was for. I need a volunteer. You're him. Give me a second. Oh, you can wear the black jacket. No problem. Makes you look ominous. You know, I mean, it would fit with my suit too. So, I like a guy that I can look up to. What's your name?
Caleb.
Caleb. Okay. So Caleb, we're standing there with the shield of faith. Right? Okay, where's your shield? It's on your left arm. Okay, so I've got mine. You see, where Caleb has his shield, there is a hole right here for his javelin to be able to be moving forward and my javelin. But there's something unique about my shield is I've got two hinges on this side and he has two hooks on this side, and Caleb then locks his shield with mine. I lock my shield with the guy next door to me. And I lock it together, and Caleb and I, my shield protects him, his shield protects me. Now, that's the front line. And we would literally, go ahead and stand like this, we would literally be sitting there using our javelin to be moving forward, moving, and it literally is like a walking tank. Now, the question is, Caleb and I are the first line. What happens to the second line? The second line is I have my door shield, Caleb and the other guy is standing there, and my door shield is over the top of him. Do you get why Satan wants us to be divided? Your faith protects me. My faith protects you. And if I'm not picking up the shield of faith from which we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, Caleb and I fail you by allowing that door shield to lay aside. Oh, we're just doing church. That's all we're doing. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Caleb's faith, my faith, linked together as a community of believers. We stand together and we are an unstoppable force because Jesus Christ. Thank you, Caleb. Good job. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which our ears have heard, our eyes have seen, our hands have handled, this we proclaim. If you think the church is simply just coming and listening to Pastor Rob sharing a wonderful message, you've got about 30% of what the church is all about. This church needs to stand impacting its community for which it serves. There was a question asked by one of the churches, if Jesus came and this church no longer existed, would the community miss us? And so I ask that of you. Will the community miss us when we are home with the Lord? I hope that there's such a ragged hole that people would turn to Christ just because you're not there. I was looking at a friend of mine posted and said, Pastor, look at this. And it was Christians in Mosul that were on TV weeping because there weren't any more Christians in the city. Weeping. In fact, he had to take his keffiyeh and put it over his head. He said, what crime have the Christians done? And yet we have our precious little children beheaded. Men, young men, men of Caleb's age, beheaded for the cause of Jesus Christ. There were three little children that ISIS came and they said, renounce Jesus and you will live. They says, how can we? We cannot. These are 8 and 10-year-old children that are with the Lord Jesus Christ today. One of the privileges that I have is working with the church in places that know difficulty for the last 2,000 years. And I will tell you, it brings a deepening. It brings a strengthening. I tell you what, painful like you cannot believe. But I will tell you this, the Lord Jesus never wastes pain. He deepens us. That which was from the beginning. Listen to John. He's saying, look, let's stand together. Let's lock our shields together. That which we know, that which we've experienced. I'll ask you it again. Have you experienced the administration of God's grace this past week? Have you had the opportunity of opening up your word, the word of God, and allowing that word to speak to you in a new and a fresh way? There's a reason why the evil one wants you to close your Bible and just do church. Well, I know I'm going from preaching to meddling, but I'll tell you there's a reason why. because Jesus is coming soon. And we who know this are here to encourage all to prepare for his second coming. There are people that are going to go through the Great Tribulation right here in Colorado Springs. Have we talked with them? Have we encouraged them? We're not just here showing up at church listening to a nice message. We are here to proclaim. Listen to what John makes the statement. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked at in our heart, hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. There is the administration of God's grace. John, the beloved apostle, is saying, as a first century Christ follower, he's saying, we have experienced him. Now, as a 21st century Christ follower, can you say, we have experienced him? My wife and I have gone through the fact we're almost lost her. She was diagnosed with stage 3 type 3 cancer a year ago in January the 29th. She went through radical surgery. She ended up being diagnosed with 3 kinds of cancer. She went through chemo, radiation, the cancer surgery, and then another, 8 months of radiation? No, of chemo, 5 months. And I tell you what, I can't say that I felt a whole lot of joy going through it. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I didn't feel joy at all. You know, there's that trite little statement that says, happiness depends on happenings, joy depends on Jesus. I can't say that I've gone through with joy, but I will tell you this, I've gone through with confidence. And that, I think, is better said. Because that's a lot more honest. He is there. And you're going through that washing machine, and I will tell you this again. You will breathe again. Your feet will be upon solid footing. It will get better. You'll never get over it. But I'll tell you this. We are in a spiritual warfare. Yes or no? There are physical casualties and physical deaths to spiritual warfare. Our ministry has experienced it. We've lost several as a result of the Islamic State and the turmoil that has taken place in the Middle East. Spiritual warfare takes physical lives. Let's realize where we're at. Your pastor has done his dead level best, first of all, to be a man of God, and secondly, to lead this church with excellence. The elders of this church have done their dead level best to, first of all, serve and follow the Lord Jesus, and secondly, to serve this church. Those that are serving are worthy of double honor. Amen? This we proclaim because Christ is still Lord to the glory of God the Father. The administration of his grace. He says, the life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. John the Apostle is saying, I've seen it, I've heard it, I've walked with him, I put my arm around him, I ate with him. We all as a team slept together and we ministered together. We saw it all take place. I was there at the feeding of the 5,000. I was there when the man's eyes were opened. I was there when the widow's son was raised from the dead. This I'm proclaiming to you. Now, as the church of the 21st century, we rise up in the same voice as John the Beloved and say, Jesus is alive. He has redeemed me from sin. He has taken me from a life of drugs. He has taken me a life of addiction, taken me from a life of failure. He's taken me from all of these things, and he's put it together, and he has established my feet upon that solid rock. He put a new song in my mouth and a hymn of praise unto my God. And this, in the 21st century, we proclaim, just as John did in the first. Difficulty and challenges will come. And sometimes you need to just rest. What did David say? He restores my soul. And that's what we need. That's what we need. But I tell you what, those of you who need rest, let's stand together, let's lock shields of faith, because my faith is strong enough for the two of us. My faith is strong enough for the two of us. We'll stand together. Nothing will divide us. Nothing will break us. Nothing will break our fellowship. Notice what John made the statement. He says, we share this so that our joy might be complete. What is our joy? That you might know him, the life of Christ. What is one of the greatest things that the church experiences? I love baptisms. Don't you? I love baptisms because it means something is happening within the church. And I'm praying that God will allow through this difficulty and challenge that as you've gone through the difficulties, that you might see a harvest of people who find the same faith in Jesus Christ that you have, even in the midst of the difficulties and challenges. You see, that's real Christianity. A lot of people think that they can, we're just going to do church. We're going to, you know, like we're supposed to do communion here in just a few moments. No, we're not doing church. And we're not doing communion. We're receiving communion. But John makes a statement, let's make our joy complete. There's nothing that will bring greater joy than to see new believers that you have had the privilege of bringing under the tutelage and teaching of your pastor to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. I was looking at the scrolling of how many studies you've got going on. Fantastic. By the way, love and respect. Unbelievable. The men's times. One of the times was going to get started at 6 a.m. God bless you. It's the best time in the day. I'm usually got 2 hours under my belt by the time 6 o'clock rolls around. 9 o'clock at night, I'm not worth much, but. John is proclaiming to you, he's worthy. This morning, we're going to be partaking. I'm going to ask that our servers would come forward at this time. We're going to be partaking of the table of the Lord. And we're not doing communion, you receive communion. I want you to sit back and literally just receive of the goodness of the Lord as a result of the broken body and the blood of Christ. Receive that today. He has been proclaimed to us as the Savior, the Lord, our unmovable foundation. When you take a look at the bread, and we'll see that in just a moment, you take a look at that bread, what did Jesus say about that bread? This is my body which is broken for you. And can I make this statement very clearly? The fact is, that body broken made it possible so that you and I, when this life is done, to step into to step home. That when this tent is destroyed, we step into a house whose builder and building and architect is the Lord. So when we partake of this, it was his broken body that got even the final journey prepared for, so that when this life is done, and it will come to an end for all of us, it will come to an end. But we have been prepared because Jesus allowed his body to be broken. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He was the Lamb that was slain. And then we come to that blood, the symbol of the blood. That symbol, literally, is the fact that there's a new covenant. We don't have to go back again and again and again and do the same thing, the same sacrifice, and over again. Jesus Christ gave his life once for all. Today, we have the privilege of receiving that. You and I proclaim it as we partake of it, but we also have the privilege of receiving it. That's one of the reasons why it's served to you. Because Jesus did that for you and for me. The scripture also tells us that we do not come to the table of the Lord without our hearts to be rightly prepared. It says, for those who partake of the table of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Let's confess, let's examine, let's get right with the Lord. If there's some reoccurrent sin, let's take it to him. For 1 John 1:9 is so clear, if we confess. You might say, well, I've been confessing and confessing. Don't worry about it. The Lord will take care of that. But you confess. You get it right. And then let us partake together. As we partake of the bread, the symbol of his broken body, and the cup, the symbol of his shed blood, we do so in remembrance of him. And Father, right now we come before you and we ask very specially, Lord, that you would hear our prayer. Father, for the sin that so easily besets, hear our prayer. Forgive us, O Father, for that which we should have said and did not say, for that which we should have done and did not do, for that which we have done knowingly. Father, forgive us. Cleanse us according to your word and according to the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we leave, I will go ahead and encourage you one more time. Love one another deeply. Be gentle with each other. Each one of us are facing battles that you may not know. Let's uphold Pastor Rob. Let's encourage both he and his wife. Little cards, little notes. Let them know that you're praying for them. Let them know how much you love them. And then Pastor Mark's family. Surround them. Smother them. Let them know that they're just going to get bugged to death until they know full well how much we treasure them. You see, we're not guaranteed anything in this life, are we? If you get a chance, look up my Facebook. There's a video that I've posted on there. You've seen the one of ISIS in Libya. Beheading the, at least you've seen the pictures, beheading the Egyptian Christians. There's another one on my Facebook. It shows the 21 men who were marched out onto the Libyan beach, and then there are 21 Egyptian Christians that are standing in white robes with gold embroidered crosses. And each of them, except for the one in the middle, goes to their knees as they show the men, the Egyptian men, gone to their knees because of ISIS, and these men go to their knees. And they said, we have a message to you, Daesh, or ISIS. Daesh is the Arabic word for ISIS. Jesus loves you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity of knowing how to pray for you. Thank you for reaffirming my personal faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you for showing us the value of our faith. Thank you for allowing us to verbally say, we forgive you in Jesus' name. That's true Christianity. As we leave, if we have issues with our brothers, let's get it right. Let's be hugging on each other. Let's be encouraging one another. Let's lift each other up. Let's especially lift up the staff and to stand with them. But I guarantee you, church, you're in the washing machine now, but you'll be on firm footing soon. Jesus is worth serving. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would dismiss us with your blessing, for as Moses, Lord, we do not want to leave unless you go with us into our day-to-day lives, into our homes, into our marriages, into our raising of our children, into our workplace. Lord, may you be honored and glorified through all of our lives. For Father, we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, loved, prayed for, desired to be brought into existence by the administration of your grace that began in the beginning and is revealed in these last days. Lord, your grace is sufficient. Your presence is felt. And Father, as your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, help us to engage in the good works that you have for us to do, even for this next coming week. Dismiss us with your blessing and your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.